Could we be living inside a hologram? What really is a hologram anyhow? Let's explore both the physics and metaphysics of holographic being and what that means for us. First of all, what is a hologram? We've all seen that shiny image of a dove on the back of a Visa credit card, or the hologram trading cards of our favorite superheroes when we were kids. These are two-dimensional films that have three-dimensional information encoded in them. And when light shines on them in the right way, we can see the image as if it is three-dimensional. And the word itself gives us insight into what a hologram is. It comes from the ancient Greek words holos and gramma. Holos means whole, while gramma means that which is drawn or written, as in a picture, a drawing, an alphabetical letter, or a piece of writing that contains a message. Thus, a hologram is an image or a message that depicts the whole. Now, there are two main defining features of a hologram. First, every part contains the same pattern or information as the whole. If we break off a piece of a holographic plate and then shine light onto just that fragment, it will still contain the whole image. In this regard, it is fractal-like or recursive, meaning it doesn't matter how small of a scale we go to, it will still contain the whole pattern within each piece. A large amount of information is contained in a hologram. The second defining feature is that a hologram is a projection from a lower dimensional encoding of information about a higher dimensional reality. An easy way to think about this is what happens when we go to the movie theater. The movie we see on the screen is a projection from light shining through the film in the movie reel. That film is imprinted with images and information from the studio recordings of real people acting out their parts. The real people are three-dimensional in this case, but the film is two-dimensional. And we watch that movie being projected onto a two-dimensional screen as well. So this example is not holographic, but it gives us an idea of what is meant by a projection from a lower dimensional encoding of information about a higher dimensional reality. If the movie were recorded using holographic methods, our experience of watching the movie might be more like what's depicted in perhaps the holodeck of Star Trek. We often hear talk of raising up to higher dimensions. What is meant by dimension? Let's define this word so that we can be clear about what we mean. Dimensions, the way we usually relate to them in science, mean coordinates within space-time that measure height, width, depth, duration, and so forth. A single reference point is zero-dimensional. Let's call that the origin. Two points define a line or direction, creating one dimension. Two lines at perpendicular directions form a flat plane, giving us two dimensions. And three perpendicular lines create three dimensions, and so on. We can continue doing this to get higher and higher dimensions beyond our 3D world. For example, here's what is called a hypercube or tesseract, which is a four-dimensional version of a cube. But in that four-dimensional reality, it is also constantly moving or unfolding and unfolding. We can also look at a torus, which is a four-dimensional sphere or cylinder, depending on how it's formed. This shape of the torus is found all over nature. Anytime there's a magnetic field flowing between two poles, it takes on the form of a torus. This includes the energy field around galaxies, stars, planets, even us. It is the shape and dynamic flow of our aura. Current string theories propose that there is up to 10 or 11 spatial dimensions plus time. However, since our senses and perceptions are only trained to be aware of three dimensions, most of us do not see the full form of anything from a higher dimension. At best, we can see a slice or projection of it in our 3D experience, kind of like a shadow. We can easily grasp this idea when we look at a three-dimensional object and compare it to its different projections onto 2D planes, such as a cylinder that can be seen as either a rectangle or a circle depending on which two-dimensional perspective we are viewing it from. A four-dimensional tesseract projected into our 3D awareness could look like any of these images among others, depending on the perspective and its current conformation. Most mandalas from either Eastern or Western spiritual traditions are also two-dimensional projections of 3D or higher dimensional forms. One way to use this is to visualize geometries of different dimensions. For example, we could start by visualizing ourselves at the center, where somewhere inside of us is the origin point. Then from that center, a line extends out. Let's say it goes out about 9 feet. If we then rotate this line clockwise around us, it forms a two-dimensional circle, and the line being the radius. If we rotate the circle again, only this time around the axis of its radius, then it will create a sphere. Finally, we can fold that sphere inward upon itself, down through our central core to make a torus. Then feel or see that movement around us as well as through our central core. This is a really good way to train our mind and expand our awareness to consciously work with the sacred geometries that are already a part of us. As we do, we become more aware of what is happening in our energy field, and we also become more multidimensional in our consciousness. So raising up to higher dimensions would be to become consciously aware of this multidimensional reality around us. However, some people also use this phrase in relation to shifting to higher frequency levels, which is different than dimension. Now, with this dimensional awareness in mind, the next question we want to explore is, how do holograms really work? It begins with a coherent source of energy. It could be laser light or sound or some other type of coherent energy wave. This is directed to a dividing mirror that then splits the light into two paths. One path sends that light straight through, and the other path sends that light towards an object. That object is then illuminated, and the light scatters back off of it, some of which then recombines with the light that went straight through the mirror. As these two light streams recombine, they form what is called an interference pattern. This interference pattern is then imprinted or encoded onto a holographic film, which captures like a snapshot or a moment in time of the object, much like taking a selfie or a picture. Now, when some other light source shines onto that holographic film, that light then reflects off of it, carrying the information of the holographic pattern. Those light waves travel to our eyes, which detect these signals of information, communicating that to our brain, and then the brain renders the three-dimensional-like image that we perceive before us. As Buckminster Fuller put it, everything we see is inside our own heads. It's similar to how we see rainbows. The rainbow is not out there, the rainbow is in here. And as Leonardo da Vinci said, all our knowledge has its origin in our perceptions. Now hold on, let's back up here for a second. Obviously, our experience of this world is not like 3D, it is 3D, and it feels very real. We can touch it, taste it, hear it, smell it, see it. We feel the pain and pleasures from it. So how can this be a hologram? Well, let's apply the same model, but now let's take it up to a higher dimension. Remember in Star Wars where R2-D2 projects a three-dimensional hologram movie of Princess Leia? Or, as mentioned before, we could also think of the holodeck experience in Star Trek? What if there were some kind of holographic substrate similar to this that was being projected into our universe? The kind that could record in time and space and then project that into an actual 3D experience? And what if we could also have a multi-sensory interaction with it, like we can now do in some of our virtual reality games? I went to one of these experiences called The Void with the Star Wars theme, and I was rather impressed by how realistic it felt. It was interactive, it even had temperature changes, smells, and a vest that gave me a little zap in the ribs every time I got shot by a stormtrooper. I even yelped every time I got zapped. And we really felt like we were in the Star Wars experience. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't like the Matrix movies or Ready Player One, but our technologies are really coming along. Anyhow, what if true reality is a four-dimensional or five-dimensional or even higher dimensional realm? And what we experience here is just a three-dimensional holographic projection. We don't need all the fancy virtual reality gear to have a sensory experience of it. all that would be needed is to send the right signals and information into our brain to stimulate those perceptions. Much like what happens in our dreams, dreams feel very real when we are in them, even though we experience things that would be impossible in our waking life. In a similar way, our physical experience of life feels very real, and at some level it is, but it's not the whole reality. Our five physical senses are only attuned to the three-dimensional world, and even then, we only perceive a small fraction of the information available in the physical world. We cannot rely on just our physical senses to inform us of what true reality is. Most people only perceive about one octave of the electromagnetic spectrum that we call visible light, ranging from red to violet in color. But we know from science that there are many more wavelengths of electromagnetic energy flowing all around us all the time. The same goes for our other senses. Each of them detect only a small portion of the energy spectra around us. And what's more, most people aren't even paying attention to what's going on around them. Their senses might be picking up the signals, but they are tuned out and not aware of what's happening, thus relying on subconscious mind to process all that information coming in. Unfortunately, our subconscious mind is full of all kinds of distortions and faulty programming that blocks or skews our perceptions. The subconscious then influences our ego and causes us to perceive separation between ourselves and others. This perception of separation is definitely an illusion. Such lack of awareness is a major thing we need to train ourselves out of. It starts by paying attention and not making assumptions. We must train ourselves to really look and tune in to what is happening around us. We must become consciously aware of our environment and ourselves if we want to achieve inner mastery. Then, to start perceiving the higher dimensional realities, we also need to train our intuitive senses or extrasensory perception abilities. First, we become aware of subtle details that we might ordinarily ignore. The more we do this through repetition, the more we help our brain to rewire so that we can become better at perceiving subtle energies. The more we are aware of our energy field and train our ESP, or what we call our spiritual senses, we can then link this with our five physical senses. The more we do this, the more we can become like Superman or Lucy with X-ray vision, keen hearing, and access to higher consciousness. Only from higher consciousness can we move beyond perceiving just the hologram. Like in the Matrix movies, when they get out of the Matrix into Zion, they are able to see the Matrix for what it really is, from the encoding level. And from that level of awareness, we can learn to harness the Matrix to become more at cause rather than always at the effect. Is this just science fiction? Could it be science fact? And where does consciousness fit into all of this? Whether or not it is true still remains to be seen, but there are many fascinating questions that this holographic model brings up. Let's turn to science now to see how this holographic idea has been implemented. One of the first theoretical physicists to propose the idea of a hologram as a model for the universe was David Bohm in the late 70s and early 80s. Bohm realized that one of the only ways to account for quantum physics, general relativity, and consciousness was to start from what they all have in common. They all point to a fundamental, unbroken wholeness or connectedness in the universe. His desire to tie these together and move away from the notion of separation is what led Bohm to propose what he called the implicate order. He felt that one of the biggest issues on the planet right now is that we continue to experience greater levels of separation, isolation, and fragmentation of human consciousness. This is very much an issue in our world today, perhaps even more than ever. What did Bohm mean by an implicate order? It's rather involved, but let's use a simple analogy to convey the idea. Many of us have heard the popular fable of the blind men and the elephant. Six blind men come across an elephant, something they have never encountered before, and each one feels a different part of the body. One has a leg, another a tusk, one an ear, a knee, the snout, the tail, and so on. Each blind man devises his own version of objective reality to describe the elephant, but it's based on a very limited experience and partial perspective. They each have part of the truth, but not the whole truth. And their partial truths are a far cry from describing the actual elephant as a whole. The outer form of the body and its parts are what Bohm might relate to the explicate order, the things we can experience, perceive, and measure in our sensory world. Most of the laws of physics thus far, both classical and quantum, mainly refer to this explicate order. Whereas the whole elephant, including all the inner workings of its body, life, and consciousness, the things that we can't see or touch, this is like the implicate order. Within the implicate order are all the deeper aspects of an unbroken wholeness. This implicate order is also alive with constant motion. As aspects come to the surface, they can be experienced or perceived in the explicate order. But when they are enfolded back in, they are part of the implicate order. Bohm wondered, how can we explore or grasp this implicate order, the whole elephant? And as a metaphor for shifting our way of thinking, he proposed a hologram model. In Bohm's model, the explicate order, or 3D physical world that we experience, is like a projection from a holographic encoding, while the implicate order refers to the higher dimensional realm where the original, more whole being resides, moves, and is illuminated. He says the explicate order, or hologram, is part of the truth, but not the whole truth. The whole truth is found within the implicate order, or higher reality. When Bohm proposed the hologram idea in the late 1970s, it was used as just a metaphor. But could there be more to it than that? In the mid to late 90s, other theoretical physicists started using the hologram idea as a mathematical way to try to unite quantum mechanics with gravity. Briefly, they said these two core pillars of physics could be united if we considered them to be holographic projections from a lower dimensional encoding of information. For example, all the information of a black hole is encoded just in its event horizon, which is a two-dimensional surface. They propose that any three-dimensional volume can be mathematically described entirely through the two-dimensional boundary or surface region that surrounds it. This sounds complicated, but one simple way for us to relate to this idea is to imagine that all the information about our entire body, all its organs, its nerves, everything, is encoded on the surface of our skin. This boundary is where the holographic information is encoded. This might not be that far-fetched. There are actually some ancient systems of Eastern medicine that do assess the qualities of the skin to diagnose issues inside the body. One interesting consequence of this holographic principle is that it says that space-time, gravity, mass, and even energy are illusory. In other words, everything we perceive as real is a kind of mirage. They simply emerge from the projection of information encoded in the lower dimensional hologram surface. What does this mean? What these scientists are saying is that what is fundamental is not the thing, rather, it's the encoded information that gives rise to the thing. Let's repeat that. Physicists are now saying that the most fundamental component of our universe and everything in it is not mass, not gravity, not space-time, not even energy or subatomic particles. It's information. Does this mean that this physical world with all its mass, gravity, space, time, and energy is an illusion, like many interpret the spiritual philosophy of Maya to mean? Not exactly. From a physics perspective, we'd say that this physicality that we experience is real, it's just not fundamental. It's not the deepest reality. Instead, we'd say it is emergent from the information encoded in the hologram, while the deeper reality or implicate order is the level that controls the encoding of the hologram. At the same time, there is an illusion. And that, as mentioned earlier, is in our perception of reality. This physical world is real. It's just not the whole reality. Part of why we're in this experience is to learn from it. So it's best not to dismiss it as not real. But we should question our perceptions and interpretation of this physicality, because that is where the illusion lies. Where might this information that encodes the hologram come from? Some physicists propose string theories and M theory as ways to accomplish this encoding of information. Recall that those theories go all the way up to 10 or 11 dimensions to find the level where things unify. However, this science still doesn't tell us where information comes from originally. It tells us more of the how. Other scientists propose the information is encoded upon the quantum vacuum of empty space, and that it comes from the multiverse. Quantum physics has shown that what we think of as real and solid is not. It's made of 99.99999999% empty space. Within that so-called empty space are fields of energy that are constantly vibrating, moving, shifting in and out of states. We can think of them like waves of energy on an endless sea. As these waves intersect, they form interference patterns that modulate that quantum sea. The waves and interference patterns contain the holographic information. But what if all the information and stimuli we experience in our three-dimensional world are not only waves? What if they are merely the surface level of an infinite sea? Have we become so caught up in trying to understand and navigate the surface that we've missed the fact that there is a vast ocean full of life and deeper realms waiting to be explored? This is what Bohm proposed. He said that the implicate order is the deeper ocean, while the explicate order is just the surface information. He believed that when we begin to explore that deeper ocean, that is when we will find the true reality that our whole world is an image of. Is using the holographic model as just a metaphor or even a mathematical trick to unify physics equations? Is that as far as this goes? Or is there a more literal interpretation to it? The first substantial physical evidence in support of our universe being a hologram came in 2017, when scientists were finally able to take a detailed look at the cosmic microwave background radiation. They discovered, within this afterglow of the Big Bang, that there are encoded fractal patterns of information. These patterns seem to be encoded within space-time itself, and they repeat at almost all scales, just like we'd expect to find in a holographic substrate. These encoded patterns determine where stars and galaxies and interstellar structures of the universe are formed. They give birth to the forms of our universe at almost every scale. That's pretty cool. What strikes me about all of this more recent scientific approach to the holographic model, though, is that scientists are now so focused on that lower dimensional encoding of information, meaning the two-dimensional surface waves, rather than on the level of true reality where the encoding actually came from. They might be one step closer, but they are still attached to the explicate order. This attachment or bias towards materiality prevents them from piercing the veil to discover the implicate order. Have we reached the limits to what object-based approach of physics can directly observe? Quite possibly, yes, at least for now. Can pure mathematics and geometry serve as a way to gain deeper insight? Perhaps. Or have we come to the point where we must cross the bridge from the world of physics into the world of metaphysics to gain insight? In the Mystery School tradition, we explore many esoteric questions that arise from concepts like these. For example, we could ask, if this world is a holographic projection, where is the real me? Clearly, I'm not the image you see on your screen. The holographic principle says I'm not even this body that is here in the studio at Gaia. Does that mean that we are just information encoded on some two-dimensional boundary only appearing as 3D? Maybe our body might be the result of encoded information, such as in our DNA, but we are not our body. We are much more than this. Could our true self be that original illuminated form which the hologram is simply an encoding of? This feels closer to the greater truth. If this is the case, then where is our original form? Who are we? What are we? These are the kinds of questions that initiates and sages have been asking for millennia. The famous depth psychologist from the early 1900s, Carl Jung, studied deeply into questions like these. He drew from the mystery school tradition of alchemy and the shamanic tradition of dream interpretation. Jung observed that similar images, symbols, and motifs were showing up in dreams of several of his patients. He also knew that many of these images and symbols had been used in alchemical artwork from the Middle Ages, as well as many ancient mythologies from around the world. Jung realized they all pointed to similar themes or specific transformational processes that must be part of a collective or universal nature. These universal images, symbols, and themes are the ways in which we receive information from what are called archetypes. The word archetype goes back to at least ancient Greek and means an original form, model, or pattern from which copies are made. These archetypes are the original forms that operate in higher dimensions. They communicate to and through us via symbols, synchronicities, and patterns that interact with our psyche. We can also use these archetypal symbols and patterns to communicate back to the higher realms. By correctly incorporating them into practices such as ritual, guided visualizations, the use of active imagination, and even magical talismans, they become like calling cards or links to the higher realms. In the magical arts and sciences, using symbols in this way is known as sympathetic magic, which relates to the idea that at a spiritual level, like attracts like. Jung called the realm where these archetypes reside the collective unconscious. We are all connected to it through our psyche, or in what today's terminology we might call our consciousness. But there is a difference between consciousness, as we experience it in our thoughts, dreams, or imagination, and the underlying essence of consciousness itself. We might call this underlying essence pure awareness or spirit intelligence, which operates at the archetypal level. These archetypes, or original forms, have also been referred to in various spiritual traditions as gods, as angelic beings, and as forces of creation. Our original form, our true self, our eternal being, resides here at the archetypal level in the sea of collective unconscious. From a physics standpoint, that sea is the depths of the quantum sea, the ocean of the multiverse. And as the archetypes move in that sea, they create waves. Then, as coherent energy from source shines upon them, their information and interference patterns get encoded on the surface of that sea. Consciousness, matter, and all the forms and forces we experience in this realm are just projections or ripple effects from these waves of that infinite quantum sea. But the encoding level is the level of our eternal divine being. And that is the part of us that we must get back in tune with. What about the illuminating source that provides the coherent energy wave needed to create the encoding? What is that? Now, coherent energy means that it is of one frequency and fully synchronized, like we might find in a laser of either light or acoustic energy. In the Kabbalistic tradition, it is called the Ein Sof, which means infinite and without end. Whatever we call it, let's just say source to make it easy, it is transcendent, meaning it also resides beyond our universe. Yet it projects itself into our universe by sending out its rays of energy in order to bring all the archetypal forms and potentials from the quantum sea into expression. Here we come to perhaps the biggest question of all. Can we influence the hologram? Can we change things? And how does our consciousness fit into all of this? In physics today, there is something known as the measurement problem. It's a problem to traditional scientists because it says that our universe is participatory. What we observe is determined by how we set up the experiment or the way we choose to observe. What it says is that consciousness does influence what information emerges from the hologram. However, that doesn't necessarily mean we are changing it. It could just be that our choices are simply moving it or tuning in to different frequency levels, like turning the dial on the radio to tune in to a different station. The information being broadcast from that station was always there, but we only perceive it when we change the dial to that frequency. These are examples that show us of how our choices might be giving us a slightly different perspective of information, as opposed to changing things at a fundamental level. Still, if there truly is a universal connectedness, as science now confirms, then if we can change ourselves, this must have an impact on the whole. And this brings us to the Hermetic principle of correspondence from the 8,000-year-old lineage of Hermes. This is the famous as above, so below principle. It can also be stated as the inner, so the outer, as the outer, so the inner, or as the microcosm, so the macrocosm. Remember, one of the defining features of a hologram is that every part contains the same pattern or information as the whole. This is what as above, so below means. So the principle of correspondence is a holographic principle. And the hologram is both inside and outside, as the inner, so the outer. In the Hermetic lineage, we have many tools and teachings about how to shift the inner so that we can influence the outer. The Hermetic ray or path is about purity. We seek to purify our mind and life so that we can truly express our multidimensional potentials. Rather than saying that the problem is outside of us or even in the holographic encoding, the real issue is the way in which we each distort its image through our filters, fears, and imbalances stored in that subconscious mind. What if our original encoding is full of goodness and beauty and strength? What if we are simply blocking ourselves from experiencing the fullness of our true form here? And if that's the case, our task is not to change the hologram, but simply to clean up our filters and blocks so that we can actually express our original blueprints in their pure and whole form. The Kabbalistic tradition talks about something called tikkun, which means to rectify, repair, or heal. The Tree of Life is a pattern that can be applied at many scales holographically. One of those ways we can apply it is to our mind and perceptions. In this model, the top of the Tree of Life is called the Supernal Triad, and this represents the realm of source energy. The very bottom point on the tree represents the physical kingdom, the world in which we live. Everything in between represents levels of soul, which includes the mind and how it works. This is like our operating system. The applications and memory files is the software programs. We can think of each of these spheres as lenses or mirrors or applications that take in the light from source and then pass that down to the next level. If any of those spheres are distorted, cracked, or faulty in their intended function, then that skews or blocks the light as it comes down to the physical. Kabbalah teaches us that our mission is to repair those spheres so that the light can flow down in its fullness and purity. When we take up this work of healing and repairing our filters, our mind and our soul, we will then automatically begin to manifest more of the divine light that flows from source. These are truly the first steps of the initiate as we progress on our path to understanding the mysteries of ourselves and the universe, the microcosm and the macrocosm. The more alive and awakened we become, the more we feel called to serve others and to help them to do the same. Thus, the higher steps of progression on the path of initiation is to move into higher levels of service in the light so that we can aid in the awakening of humanity. The more we heal and realign with our true light and true self, the more we can manifest that light into this world and build a better world, one based on our wholeness and divinity rather than on separation and ego. Our task in this hologram is to become more pure and complete image or expression of the whole. Join me again as we discover how to access the quantum gap and the infinite potential contained within the zero-point field or quantum sea. I'm Dr. Teresa Bullard. Thank you for exploring the mysteries of the universe with me in this episode of Mystery Teachings.